Welcome to the Awakening Podcast Network. Get ready for an inspiring audio from this cutting-edge voice. You can find more podcasts at awakeningpodcasts.com.
You want to go deeper? Get equipped to overcome and walk in God's purpose for your life at Awakening House of Prayer's online campus. You'll experience an online family, preaching, teaching, and prophetic impartation for victorious living. We have over 1,000 members online, hungry for what God is saying and doing in the earth. Visit ahop.online today and join our family. AHOP TV empowers believers with spirit-inspired messages and strategic equipping that accelerates your spiritual growth. You can subscribe to stream weekly content from Awakening House of Prayer, conferences, and other exclusive content to stir your hunger and encourage your heart. Visit us online at ahop.tv.
Are you hungry for the supernatural? Because I think God is hungry for you to experience the supernatural. It's like we were made for it. And when we're born again, we get hungry for it. And today we have a very special guest with us who has just had so many encounters in the supernatural, Dr. Tony Kemp. Tony, it's awesome to have you with us again.
And thank you.
Especially for this subject.
Yes.
Now, you had a particular encounter where God opened up a whole realm of understanding to you. And that's what we're hungry for that today.
Amen. When I was in heaven, one of the persons that I had the opportunity to see, not talk to, but see, was the prophet Elijah. And to describe Elijah, he looks ancient and youthful at the same time.
Wow.
And he has
Just like you.
Well, thank you very much. I'm working on it. He has kind of dimples. And he has like a twinkle in his eye with this joy of the Father in Jesus. And he has a long flowing beard. He really does have a hairy chest. And but at the same time, there is this fierceness, this flame in his eye for God to get his glory. And I like to say this, and I want to be careful how I say this. It looked like when he was on earth, he did not miss many meals. And that's not to say he was fluffy, it's to say he was taken care of. And what happened is because I saw Elijah, it was as God began to give me downloads on the spirit of Elijah and the Elijah ministry. And I need to back up because this is important. When we see Elijah burst upon the scene in 1 Kings 17:1, he says, as the Lord God lives before whom I stand, there'll be no rain or dew these years till I give you the word. And I have to back up because we have to understand this. When the Lord God made man of the dust of the earth and he breathed into man, he became a living soul and God imparted himself. The dust of the earth means that man came out of the earth and his body becomes an altar. And as long as man and woman obeyed God, they were attendees at a holy altar of a holy God.
Wow.
And so every altar, human body, because dust, you came from dust and dust you return. Every altar, whether holy or sinful, has an attendee and a supervising spirit over that altar.
Wow. So just let me see if I understand this. So you're saying we actually are an altar, but we're also an attendee at the altar.
Yes, because we are the attendee of the altar and there's always a supervising spirit. Now, when it's a sinful altar, the supervising spirit is an evil one. When we are a holy altar, I know the Father through Jesus, the supervising spirit is God himself, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So when Adam and Eve were obeying God, they were attendees at a holy altar to a holy God, and they coveted it up. So the atmosphere over them was heaven. Light was shining, and all they knew was light, love, and life. Hmm. When the evil one comes and deception comes and the wrong decision is made, they become attendees to a sinful altar and they switch altars and a dark spirit is over them. And then the atmosphere of the earth changes. And then all of a sudden now they know sin, sickness, disease, death, dying, you shall die. The Hebrew scripture says, and even the earth falls.
And that's what happened at the fall.
Yes, that's what happened at the fall. So now what, well, we're coming back to Elijah. Here's what Elijah understood. Whoever controls the altars controls the people.
Wow.
So when Jezebel, the high priestess, whose father was a priest of Baal, or in witchcraft it's called Baal, they introduce a sinful doctrine and get people to attend the altar of the evil one. Darkness is upon them. And so what Elijah does is Elijah says, now, Lord, you love these people. I love you. You said if these people don't serve you, you will shut heaven and the earth. And he prays with love and compassion for the sons of Israel to be delivered. And then one day God says to him, go speak to Ahab. I'm shutting up heaven. I'm shutting up the earth. No rain, no dew. Here's the point. In order to speak in God's place, I must live in God's face. And the key is synchronization, because this is really a battle over two altars and who is going to influence and direct the people.
Right.
And so when Elijah, his harmony with God became so great, he was able to shut down satanic power so that Baal could not operate through his attendees.
Even though there were so many prophets of Baal.
Yes.
So many.
Yes.
Compared to him, who is
yes.
one prophet of God.
Yes.
He was able to control it because of his position with God.
Because of his position with yeah. God. And here's the thing that's interesting. God was standing and now Elijah was standing. And so it's synchronization with God. And then God says, hide. Go turn eastward. And really in the Hebrew, it means to go back to antiquity. And he says, hide yourself. Which is interesting now, because God's getting ready to hide himself. Later on, he's supernaturally provided for. And then God says, go to Zarephath, which is interesting because Zarephath was Jezebel's hometown. It was the Satan seat.
Yep.
Now, we're looking at the development of Elijah and his relationship with God, because when he's at Cherith means separation.
Mm-hmm.
He's cutting up. It's a covenant with God. He's covenanting up and he's got supernatural supply. Zarephath means a smelting pot. It's a smelting place. It's a place where you go through the fire, the trial that mm-hmm. we talked about before. And when Elijah obeys God because of his harmony with God, because of his synchronization with God, even where Satan's greatest activity was, there was a supernatural supply.
Yeah.
And the reason I want to talk about this with people, because sometimes people think, because of where I'm living, things can't work.
Mm-hmm.
But if I develop this relationship with God, I can see the miraculous anywhere he puts
Come
me.
On.
And so now you have a supernatural supply through a woman there. And this is what's interesting. There's a counterattack of the enemy. The woman's son dies.
Yeah.
And then it says Elijah stretched himself, which means God stretched himself. And now you see a boy raised to life. And what I want to point out to people is this. When God stands, I need to stand. When he hides, I need to hide. When he speaks, I need to speak. When he's silent, I need to be silent. But when God stretches, I need to stretch. And I'm going to see God do some things I've never seen him do before.
Wow. Now, a lot of this teaching and more is in building an altar for the supernatural. And this is a CD set that people can get on your website, or
exactly.
they can get downloads on it, and with all kinds of detail on how to position yourself to walk in this, which
yes.
is awesome. Okay, so
well,
let's
see,
carry on with Elijah.
Yeah, because here's the thing. This is what's amazing. I live in a rural area, and we had a drought. And we had a woman, I was planning a church, and this woman secretly gave us all the money we needed to purchase the church, all of it. And, you know, she gave us the money, and then a cell company said, because we were a high place, we want to put a tower, and the amount of money that she gave us was the amount of money that the company gave us to put a tower on our building, so we paid her back. A drought hits, so she says, come out and pray for rain. So I come out and pray on Mondays, and it rains every Monday.
Wow.
Only on her property.
Wow.
And see, what we're trying to get people to see is when I give myself to the Lord, and when we give tithes and offerings, God remembers.
Right.
Because this is a way of building an altar for God to do something supernatural, not just for us, but for our families.
Wow.
Because what I want people to get is this. Isaac and Jacob were blessed because of Abraham's altar.
Come on.
And so it goes. So Rahab, her whole family is saved because of what she did, her altar. And this is so amazing. Not a Philippian jailer, his family is saved. But let's take it a step further. You have Paul on a ship with 276 criminals.
Mm-hmm.
And none of them die. All of them are blessed and preserved because Paul is on the ship.
Come on.
And he serves God. And what I want to say to people is this. Not only are you blessed, but everyone connected to you
yep.
can be saved, healed or delivered because of the
attention. And you carry all that with you wherever you go.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, you've got that presence in you. It's like, wow, you know, I love this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And see, what happens is that sometimes, and what I want to make people aware of is that they have something they may not be aware they have.
Right.
And because of what they have, let me give you an example. My wife, Deborah, could not have any children. Physically impossible. But I said to her, I said, when I say you're going to have a child, you're going to have a child. I said, you're going to get pregnant. She got pregnant. Now, this son, this son, Philip, is in full-time ministry. He got saved at 2, spoke in tongues when he was 4. When he was 8, he had his first angelic visitation and vision of being a minister. When he was 12, he got caught up to heaven and saw things he didn't even know about. And so, and now he's in full-time ministry. But it was because of the altar we built for the generation to follow.
Wow. So beautiful. I just felt, as Tony was sharing, that there's someone who you've been trying to get pregnant and you haven't been able to, and you just long for a child. It's like burning in you. It's almost painful emotionally to you, just thinking about not having a child. And I just see the heaven open up over you, and there's a divine connection coming where everything that got in your way to keep you from having a child is going to be moved. You know, we can move those mountains, and I see this connection of life coming to you. We've seen so many miracles in this way, because no matter what the report is that man gives, God's report is greater. And I speak life and light and love to you, and also the hope that you can hold on to, and the faith injection that you can be filled with right now to believe for your dream to come true. This is very exciting, isn't it? And I'm just like, you're just bubbling up with testimonies, mm-hmm. because you trust God for the miracles, because mm-hmm. he's a miracle working God. And mm-hmm. you know, Tony, when we look through the Bible, if we were to take out all the miracles or all the encounters God had with his people, there wouldn't be much left.
That's exactly,
you know,
right. That's
because
exactly
it's
right.
a miracle book. It's a book that records God's works. And you've lived a life of tangibly laying hold of miracles. So mm-hmm. let's hear some more about the miracles that come forth from a life being made an altar.
Yes, because we mentioned about people not being able to have children. I there was a dentist, and his kids were not able to have kids. And so basically, the Lord just said, speak the word. I spoke the word. Within 2 weeks, they were pregnant. There was another couple. I didn't know that they couldn't have kids. I prophesied, you're going to have a boy and a girl, and they had a boy and a girl. And there has been so many couples who said, we can't get pregnant. It's impossible. But I seem to have been given a grace because I've had the experience.
Come on.
You know, what God takes you through and what he does for you, he can do through you for others. And so if you're here and you're watching this and you can't get pregnant, I'm fixing to tell you right now in the name of Jesus, I speak the word. I don't care if you don't even have a womb. A womb will be created now. I speak whatever's in the way. I command it to disintegrate. Die, disappear. I speak the creative miracle into the man and into the woman, the husband and wife.
Thank you.
Become pregnant. You be healthy, and every child will be healthy in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow, I can feel that one.
Oh,
that's
my
exciting.
Goodness.
And be sure to write us when you know, you can even show us a little picture of the pregnancy test thing showing positive, because I think that that's going to happen.
Yes.
Tony, in 1 Kings 18, mm-hmm. where we read about Elijah confronting the prophets of Baal,
yes.
One of the first things he did was to uh-huh. repair the altar.
Oh, yes.
So how can we repair our lives as an altar?
Oh, yes. You know, I love to repent. Repentance is good for me. You know, John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, it's within your reach. And Jesus said, repent and believe the good news. The Greek word for repent is the word metano. It means simply change your mind. And then Peter in 3:19-21 in the book of Acts says, repent and be converted. The Greek word for converted is the word epistrapo, which is an action word. It's a military word. So when I hear the word, and let's say I'm out of alignment, I get my mind in alignment, and then I think, speak, and do what the word says. From the moment I repent, I am now aligned because now times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. It will bring God's manifested presence. And so what's interesting about this, let me share this because this is so amazing. I ministered to a woman and she was fluffy. She had 60% bone loss. And when she was in pain, I prayed for her and nothing happens. And I said, Lord, what's the deal? And I had one of those prophetic moments. And the Lord said to me, when she was younger, she had an abortion. She repented. I forgave her, but she has never forgiven herself. And so I said, forgive you. The minute she forgives her, she cries and says, sister, the minute she forgives herself, all of a sudden her pain disappears. And so what I want to say is if you have had something happen in the past, Jesus said in Luke 6, forgive and you shall be forgiven. And so forgive yourself right now in the name of Jesus. And as you forgive, you just simply say, Lord, I forgive myself. I repent. I'm not going to hold it against myself anymore. And one of the things I have learned is this. Sometimes unforgiveness or self-bitterness hides under the banner of regret. And so let go of your regrets. Let go of your self-bitterness. And right now, receive a miracle in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Because Jesus took care of that 2,000 years ago when he went into the waters of baptism. He repented as you.
Yes.
Not just for us, but
yes,
as us.
Yes.
And so that's what gives us the ability to fully repent.
Yes.
And to receive the finality of that. I mean, he continued, of course, to the cross. But the heavens opened after he came up out of the waters of baptism. After he repented for us, the heavens opened.
Yes.
So if he's in us, the heavens are open over us.
Exactly.
You know, there's nothing that should be hindering us.
Yes.
So we can connect into that alignment that was already made for us 2,000 years ago.
And it's still here.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if since God is for us, no one can be against us successfully. When you do Romans 8:32, it says that the Father gave his Son. Why would not the Father with the Son freely give? Why wouldn't he freely give us all things? Let me share this because this is interesting. I was in a church in Michigan. And the pastor's wife dies in the service. And, you know, there's a brain dead, and then there's clinical death, no breath, no pulse. And then there's a biological death. Your systems are shut down. And then there's legal death. They got papers on you. And she was clinically dead. And so this pastor's wife had been saved for 60 years. Now, most people, they would call 911. They would initiate CPR. But she had walked with God for so long. She just said, let's pray. Now I'm doing a revival there. So she walks up to me and says, will you pray for my sister? So I said, you know, what else have I got to do? So I don't know what I'm going to do, but I have learned this. I walked over and I want to see if she's dead. I worked at St. Mary's Hospital, St. Elizabeth Hospital. I worked at several hospitals and, you know, I know a little something about this. So I checked to see if she's dead. She's really dead. So I said, Lord, what do I do? And this is what he told me. He said, stand over the body and say, Satan, the Lord God rebuke you. So I obeyed. Then he said, put your hand on her body so that whatever caused her to die will be healed. So I obeyed. Then the Lord, who has such a sense of humor, he said, you don't even know the woman's name. Find out what her name is. So I said, what's her name? They said, Ida. He said, tell Ida to get up.
Wow.
And from the moment I said to Ida, get up, her stomach started moving. She stands up, she starts praising God, and after that, we had church.
Wow.
And we've seen five people raised from the dead. Every single time it was different. No one time was the same.
Wow.
And so when I talk about building this altar of relationship and fellowship with God, it doesn't just benefit me. It benefits the people that I'm around.
Wow.
Whether that's at the mall, where we see God do miracles, or at the restaurants or wherever it happens to be.
Come on. Tony, when you're sharing your stories, I love the way that you say, and God told me this, and then I did it. And God told me this, and then I did it. How did you cultivate such a close relationship with God that you hear his voice so specifically like that?
You know, it may have something to do with, here was my problem. My father is 98 and still lives at home. And he's a super intellectual. He's the smartest man I know. He had his doctorate. Mom has her master's. She's still at home, and she just turned 90 May the 1st. May the Lord bless my parents. Y'all have to excuse me on
really?
That one. And so, but I came from a family of intellectuals.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can have intellect in the spirit, but intellectualism can actually get in the way of you believing God's word. And so what I had to do is I began to learn that what reason is to the natural man, revelation is to the spiritual man. And so I had developed in the area of reason. But now I needed to get in the word and develop in the area of revelation, because this is what I discovered. I don't ever try to improve a person's faith. I try to improve their revelation, because your revelation is the jurisdiction of your faith. And that's that where awesome. You have the revelation, that's where the faith is.
That's
where
true.
The faith is, that's where the anointing is. And where the anointing is, sooner or later, the glory is going to manifest. Mm-hmm. And so when I say revelation, I mean the word.
Yeah.
And so what I learned in my journey was this, that logic and reason are the foundations of impossibility. But revelation faith, coupled with obedience, erases the borders of the impossible and makes it possible.
Wow.
And so
that's
we see
the key to the miraculous.
It's the key to the miraculous. Yeah. But what I'm sharing is, this is also how I've been building my altar of relationship with God.
Beautiful.
So if I can just repent, which I'm quick to repent.
Yep.
Okay. And Deborah and I will be married 39 years this May coming.
Congratulations.
And thank you very much. But in the relationship, I'm the one who usually has to do the most repenting, because I'm usually the one that's wrong. And I have learned that if I humble myself, the Father will bless me.
Yes. So, I've learned that too. It's awesome.
Yes. So I think that there's a blessing, like, for example, if I can say this, that sometimes when we're raising our kids, we make mistakes. And sometimes when our kids get to a certain age, we need to say, you know what? Is there anything I said or did or didn't say or do that caused hurt to come to you? I want to repent and I want you to forgive me. Because this too can bring our kids
sure.
into the presence of God.
Oh my goodness. Wow, that is so awesome. And I'm getting a word of knowledge right now for someone who's watching, is that your children are not in good relationship with you because of things that you did when they were growing up. And you were in a hard place then, and you were making some wrong choices. And you've been beating yourself up really big on that one. But you know what? Your humility, and you're going to them and repenting and telling them how sorry you were and letting them know, is going to turn some things around. And I just see this. You've got two sons, actually. This woman that I'm seeing, it's a woman that I'm speaking to right now. And the Lord's going to restore something. The miracle's going to come when that alignment comes. And he doesn't want you to beat yourself up over it anymore. He wants you to receive forgiveness for yourself as well. And that's like with so many different relationships.
Yes.
If we just go humble, yes. that's what opens up the heaven. That's when times of refreshment come, when we repent.
Yes. And see, one of the secrets I learned in ministering to people, if you can touch the heart, it will open up the supernatural activity of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And so, number one, it's good for us to repent. It's always
yes.
good for us. And secondly, it will bring healing to our children.
Yes.
And we're role modeling for our grandchildren. And so, I really feel like that there are people, sometimes when I minister to people, the Lord gives me words of knowledge. And I find very often that many times we are way too hard on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we're listening to the voice of the evil one, because the Father is so merciful.
Yes.
He's not paying attention to what we are so focused
on. That's right.
And so sometimes we're feeling guilty. Let me give an example of this. I had a prophetic experience where I was ministering to a person, and the Lord showed me that in the past they committed a very grievous sin. And of course, the person was upset about it. And I said, listen, the Lord don't even remember what it was. You need to quit thinking about it.
Yeah, because he threw it as far as the north is from the
And how far
south,
do you,
and the
how
east
far,
from the west.
How far do you go east before you get west? You never get there.
Yeah.
And so what I want to share with people is this, is they're forgiven. They've repented.
Yeah,
they're forgiven. Let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go and let it drop.
Oh, man. Some of you are getting weights lifted off of you right now. Let it go. Just let it go. Let it all lift off, okay? God loves you so much, and he wants you connected to his heart, to his ways, to his truth, and to the supernatural. He wants you to encounter him in ways that you could only dream about right now. But when you read the word and you see people like Elijah and Elisha and Moses and others working these great, phenomenal miracles by God's power, you are no different. You have that access as well. And God wants you to enjoy that. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. If you are watching this program and you don't know that love yet in a personal way, God wants to be your savior. Jesus Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago so that all your sins could be forgiven and that you could be given a brand new life. When you humbly ask him, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I turn my life to you. Then he will take that seriously and he will become your savior, your Lord, your deliverer. And he will be there for all your life's needs. Your name will be written in the book of life in heaven from that point on. If you feel to pray a prayer like that, just approach God just from your heart. That's what he looks like. And pray that prayer. And then would you let me know? Write info@patriciaking.com. I'd love to know if you receive Jesus Christ as your savior, and I'll send you a gift and we'll build a relationship. We'll keep in touch with you. Our team is all set up and ready to go. So God bless you, and we'll see you next time.
This has been a production of the Awakening Podcast Network. Jennifer LeClaire is the founder and owner of APN. Our heart is to inspire people and exalt Jesus with every broadcast. We're grateful for our advertisers and supporters that make these podcasts possible.